When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Chris Carberry, the CEO of Explore Mars Incorporated. Chris runs a wonderful presentation each year in Washington, D.C. and other environs about Mars. That's right, the planet where NASA and other big space operations are directing all their attention from now going forward. Mars, the planet that the intention is to colonize once the moon is colonized. Chris runs an operation that is fabulous in its presentation. And because of the pandemic, it's been necessary, not in person in Washington, but virtually in and around the country and the world, to present the voices from NASA and private enterprise, all looking to Mars and education looking to Mars, and what to anticipate looking to Mars. Chris, a very good evening to you. The important news is that this year's is coming up later this month. Please explain the dates and how people can access online your presentation. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on, John. Absolutely. We have this wonderful presentation conference, online conference coming up. And this is a strange year for us. We actually have two large online conferences. So the one coming up on May 25th to May 27th is called the Mars Innovation Forum. And what we're focusing on in this conference is less focusing on the rockets and the crew vehicles, but looking at these innovations that are required to create sustainability on Mars or anywhere else in the solar system. You know, I think we all know we need to eat, we need to breathe, we need to communicate. There's a whole bunch of technologies and innovations that we need to develop before we can send people to Mars and if we want to create sustainability there so we don't have to send all the supplies there. So we're focusing on that in this upcoming conference, as well as how these innovations may be able to benefit Earth. Because almost every one of these areas of technology, these innovations that are required for living on Mars could have real benefits on Earth by looking at these problems through the Mars lens. How can we improve food production? How can we improve advanced computing, et cetera? It just goes on and on. So it's a very exciting topic that I've been looking forward to doing for a long time, just to look at these parallels between innovation for space exploration and benefits to Earth.
So sustainability on Mars is a subset of sustainability on Earth. That's a dialogue. Food production. I mean, we're wandering into the science fiction stuff, Chris, that we always dreamed of as younger people, growing food in water, manufacturing water from rocks. Is that the aim here, to take science fiction and turn it into engineering?
Absolutely. And it's funny because so many of the things we've seen in science fiction have come to pass or, you know, happened long ago as well. But with on Mars, we really do need to find a way to live off the land. You know, if we had to ship everything to Mars from Earth, that would not be sustainable at all. We would not be able to maintain that. It would be limited to small missions where they come and go, but you never create permanence. But we will be testing out. We need to be able to figure out if we can use the atmosphere of Mars and the water on Mars. And interestingly, the most recent, we recently confirmed that we can do this. You may have heard that the MOXIE mission, which is part of Perseverance, just recently created oxygen utilizing the Martian atmosphere. That is a huge breakthrough. We've known it would work, but, you know, until you actually see it happen, you don't know for sure that it's actually going to work. But as much as the helicopter we keep seeing is great and wonderful for the benefit of humans in the future, being able to manufacture oxygen utilizing the Martian atmosphere is a much bigger, have a much bigger impact in the future of humanity on Mars or anywhere else. But even on things like, you know, as you mentioned, manufacturing food, obviously we'll need to eat. And so we can perfect new ways of growing plants in arid areas, or even using synthetic biology. You know, we always talk, a lot of people like saying, oh, of course, they'll be vegan on Mars. I don't think so. I think, however, it's not like, we're not likely to bring cows there anytime soon. But there are so many technologies in development now utilizing synthetic biology where all you need to do is bring a few cells from a cow or a fish or chicken, and they can literally grow the meat, you know, with just a few cells. It's like an unlimited supply. So there are all these different innovations that will have play a dramatic role when we are actually trying to build up a presence on Mars. But as we're focusing on these technologies, advancing them for that purpose, think of the benefits here on Earth as we figure out how to vastly expand our ability to manufacture food.
Chris, the way to look forward to the event later this month is to look to the one you held in 2020. I present it that way because these are pandemic events in which your moderators and your narrators are all in different parts of the world, not just the U.S., but the world. And it occurred to me while reading through your list last year, and all of this is available online at ExploreMars.org, because there are video packages of everything. Everything was recorded, as you can do with Zoom and Microsoft Meetings. Everything is recorded immediately. It occurred to me, Chris, watching these presentations, this is how it will be when we are on Mars and on the Moon and in Lagrange points and in Earth orbit. We will be meeting and chatting virtually at great remove, even when we're in different parts of a space station. There would be no advantage to being personally present next to someone talking. You're going to be in a protective suit or in some fashion take caution because you are in outer space. And though you will be several generations from now, there will still be limits to what humans can do in outer space. So you presented the Explore Mars as it will be presented in the year 2320, Chris. When they're barely remembering us, they'll wonder what the big deal was back in 2020 being virtual.
Well, that's true. And it's kind of funny. The whole past year, while we would have preferred to avoid a pandemic, it has been a very interesting time in really pushing these technologies forward and forcing everybody to embrace them. And, you know, it's not just us. You know, the whole world had to do this. And so it's been like we've been living in a Mars analog the past year. Everybody's living in isolation, having to communicate, figure out how to do things autonomously, you know, without direct contact. As you mentioned, that's exactly like it's going to happen when we're in space or trying to communicate between space and Earth. Now, of course, with Mars so far away, there will be a lag in communication. It's not like instantaneously speaking like we are right now. You know, there's a 20 to 40 minute gap, you know, between when your signal gets there and returns because of the speed of light. We can't surpass the speed of light, so nothing we can do about that. But it has been an interesting exercise that I think we've learned a lot of lessons that will be able to be applied moving forward when people are spending long periods of time in space, not just communicating, but people don't really think about the fact that when we're sending crews to Mars, they are going to be sitting there in transit for 6 to 8 months. And while they will have stuff to do, it is still going to be challenging to keep and maintain mental health. and keep them active. So in many ways, we've perfected a lot of these methods for keeping people engaged, active when they are in isolation over the past year. So definitely an interesting experience. But once again, I wish we didn't have to go through a pandemic to achieve all this.
Oh, you're so old fashioned, Chris, actually sitting next to a human being. Chris Carberry is the CEO of Explore Mars Incorporated. To register and to access this year's Mars Innovation Forum, it's at exploremars.org. Exploremars.org. It can't be easier than that. And I recommend the videos from last year as a wonderful presentation of the dreaming of Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.